All right, so moving, do you want to go to the next slide?
I'll just point out a couple things. If you look up there, you have the list of the industries involved. And one thing I'd point out is only one of those industries was involved in our actions last year. That was financial services. Mm. So, again, 2 years, you'd think there'd be more overlap, but it's almost complete divergence as to the industry's impact. And just to show you again, nobody's safe. I mean, if you have exposure to government, if you have, well, you know, some industries are very attuned to their FCPA risks and other industries are not. But if you have exposure overseas dealing with government officials, whether it's permits and licenses, contracts, whatever, you have FCPA exposure. And just the fact that last year we had aviation, distilled beverages, elevators, mining, pharma, and real estate, none of that's in this year. So a huge number of industries. And similar point, countries implicated. I think only three or four of those overlap from the prior year. So again, even over the course of 2 years, you can see a lot of the world covered too.
So on that topic just for a minute, because it's sort of it's something that comes up repeatedly both in the SEC context and DOJ, which is everybody always wants the crystal ball, which is, well, what's SEC going to focus on this year? Or what region of the world is SEC going to focus on? Or DOJ for that matter. And you see sort of all these countries and all these industries. You know, is it the case that you guys sort of sit down and map out, like, you know, next year it's going to be, you know, Chile, or, you know, we've decided to go against dairy, you know, farmers, you know, this year?
No.
Okay.
I just think the looking at last year's industries and countries and this year's, just it just shows you how random it can be. Now, sometimes a problem appears, you have one company doing a particular scheme, and then the light bulb goes off. Oh, what about their competitors who have the same agent, et cetera, et cetera. So it can kind of grow that way where naturally there might be a focus on an industry or a country. But I've never been in a meeting where we sit down and say we're going to pick on industry X this year and Y next year. I mean, if we're doing it, it's because we're seeing a risk, we're seeing violations in a particular area where we have a reason to believe that they're likely being replicated by someone else.
And Petrobras is a good example of that. Petrobras is an issuer, and they were getting bribed, I mean, left and right by all kinds of companies. So we had a lot of those companies that were either U.S. companies issued shares on U.S. exchanges or engaged in conduct through American subsidiaries. So we had several resolutions related to Brazil, but it wasn't as if we all sat down and said, okay, we're going to focus on Brazil today. It just happened that a huge company that was traded on a U.S. exchange, so we could resolve with it, was being bribed by a lot of companies through the United States.
Right, many of those also traded in the exchanges. Yeah. You know, the very same, similar point. I mean, you'll hear these discussions when I was in the government, are these industry sweeps happening, or there's a focus in that way. And look, Vimpelcom, Telia, and MTS, all because those three very big FCPA cases, when I was in the DOJ, we were investigating those because it was the same unit, same agent that was involved in all three. And it starts off as a Swedish investigative journalist report that breaks a story about Telia Sonera, then a Swedish company, paying bribes in Uzbekistan. And then naturally, who else is in Uzbekistan? Who else is using the same players? And it turns into, you know, all told about three, you know, telecom companies. They paid about $2.5 billion in fines and disgorgement over the last, in their resolutions.
Right. I mean, I guess my practice pointer for people here that have clients out there that you advise on FCPA-related matters is if there is an investigation that becomes known into a particular country, country or an agent or particular industry, DOJ and SEC and FBI and other agencies, do exactly what you'd expect them to do, which is follow the evidence. And the first thing they're going to be asking folks is, who else in the industry is doing it? Misery loves company. Who else is using that agent? Who else is, operating in that market, in that country? And so if you have a client that is in an industry that looks as though at least, in that particular country or with that agent, et cetera, is being investigated, I would reach out to them and say, stop celebrating that you have a competitor that's in trouble or under the spotlight by DOJ or SEC, and ask yourselves, do you have the same problem? And be prepared for the knock at the door.
And if you're already under investigation, one more practice pointer, find out if you know about your competitors, because if you can bring information to the department's attention, either about companies they don't know are paying bribes and the SEC's attention, or you can bring more evidence about investigations they've already opened, you can help your client. Your client could end up getting a more favorable resolution than it would have otherwise.
Let me, Tara kind of stole my thunder there on that point. It's because it's a really good one. When you're viewing things as a prosecutor through the prism of substantial assistance, defining against another person, including companies. And that's a really, really good point. And I think one of the things I mentioned, that the growth in the numbers of prosecutors in the unit over the last 5 years, and I think, what was it, 12 or 14 when you joined 2 years earlier? I mean, it's been a dramatic growth in numbers, but it's also been a dramatic growth in former prosecutors joining the unit. When I joined, it was mostly, these are mid-level associates that were staffing a lot of cases from law firms who had never built small cases, let alone the most complex international cases. Tarek and I were among the exceptions that had former prosecution experiences as AUSAs. And, we went out, we were recruiting and trying to bring in other AUSAs. And so I think you're not only seeing an increase in quality, quantity, but also an increase in quality of prosecutors who know how to develop cooperators. Because at the end of the day, that's how these big cases are made, is by developing cooperating witnesses who then can actually testify in a U.S. courtroom. That's going to bring cases against other individuals, but it's also going to help in the negotiating posture with a company on the part of the government.